one devotee, you know,
a couple, and then the wife, she is still alive, the husband died. That is, the wife said that everybody should eat only organic food. Organic food. Buy from Whole Foods. And it is not costly, she said. It is not pricey. My husband is an economist. And if it was costlier, he wouldn't have allowed. But it is, therefore it is not costly. The husband was saying, then when he got an opportunity to put in a word, he said, yes, I am an economist. And I see what is the best suitable thing. These that whole food things, they are costly, but still that will be cheaper than the cost of the divorce. So that will be cheaper.
You have to see
the wide picture. Yeah, why? To an economist cannot be, economist cannot be just focusing on a small spectrum. Has to take a very wide global picture. These days, global picture, you have to say.
He was a forecaster.
Yeah. It is, you have to see how, because everything a little. You know, something you do in Puerto Rico will have repercussions, economic repercussions, far away in Japan.
Vice versa.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, you are right.
Remember that we
import
85% of our food.
From?
Mainly from the States.
Yeah, correct.
And other place for Puerto Rico.
It is even in other places. It was said one time that even the potatoes that in Indian market and in US markets, many of that potato comes from China. It is marked as Idaho potatoes. Idaho potatoes, but it is just that quality, kind of potatoes. Idaho potatoes manufactured and shipped from China.
That happened here with the rice.
Most of the rice comes
from California. So, for California growers, it's of no interest for us to have rice in Lajas.
Lajas is a
place where they can grow rice.
Like Puerto Rico grows rice, isn't it?
We can grow rice in Lajas. The experiments, the university has made a lot of experiments. It's very suitable, but politically, is not convenient.
My grandfather used to be a rice grower. My grandfather. And he lived in the center of Canada.
Okay.
In the mountains.
They grow rice there.
He used
very
to
good,
very
good. Okay, then now let us begin. Let us chant this verse again. Om Sahana Vavatu. Repeat again, Sahana Vavatu. Sahana Bhunaktu.
Sahana Bhunaktu.
Sahaviryam.
Sahaviryam.
Karavavahai.
Karavavahai.
Tejasvina.
Tejasvina.
Vadhitamastu.
Vadhitamastu.
Ma.
Ma.
Vidvishkava.
Vidvishkava.
Hai.
Om.
Shanti.
Shanti.
Shanti, Shanti. So this is the prayer. The meaning is, let us be protected together. You will see the key word in this is together. Let us be protected together. Let us be nourished together. Let us become energetic together. And let whatever we learn shine forth in our lives. And let there be no hatred amongst us. Now this togetherness is a precursor to oneness. So yeah, when we practice togetherness, welcome. So Latu, did he come today?
With Sarala.
Which
come later.
Okay. Very good. So nice to see you.
You too.
So when we feel together, then we move towards oneness. We are like together as this Vedanta Sociedad. Sociedad Vedanta, in that we are together. We are together as Puerto Ricans. We are together in many ways. So it is, we are together as religious people. So this is, togetherness is a step to the ultimate oneness. So therefore this prayer takes us to that oneness gradually. Let us first feel togetherness. We are together in it. Not just I, mine, but of all of us. So this is the prayer, and then let us continue with the readings of this great, small but great book, Imitation of Christ. So it is...
He was a priest.
He was a Catholic priest, ordained as Catholic priest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, now a very important thing, that the more you study, more you learn, there is more responsibility on you. Now you should make your life match what you have studied. If a person, if didn't know the law, if he didn't have the knowledge of the law, then his offense, although he will be punished, but his offense will be less. But a person deliberately, knowing also, breaks the law, then the punishment is more. So when we know, we have read, we have studied, and what we should be doing, we are aware of. And still when we don't do it, then our offense is more. The more you know, and the better you understand, the more severely will you be judged, unless your life is also the more holy. Do not be proud, therefore, because of your learning or skill. Rather, fear because of the talent given to you. If you think you know many things and understand them well enough, realize at the same time that there is much you do not know. We know something, but then that just expands the horizons of knowledge. And so we don't know more always than we know. It is the vista expands. I know something, And then, you know, on the periphery of that, I see, oh, so many things are still unknown. So many things, as we know more, as the knowledge expands in Sri Ramakrishna's words, as the knowledge expands, so also the ignorance expands too. As this worldly knowledge is like that. You know, if the circumference becomes bigger, now the offshoots from that circumference in all other directions, its scope becomes bit bigger. When we don't know much, our ignorance is also limited. I don't know this, not know that. Now, when you are learned, you become a professor like Jaime, and then you see that, oh, I don't know so many things because I know so many things.
A student, professor
has to be a student. So, see that lot more needs to be learned. Only so much has been learned, lot remains still to be learned. So those who have lot of learning should therefore see that there is more to learn. You may start AC maybe. Now it may work.
The wire that brings the power to the AC is a tear or something. It's causing a short circuit.
That is the problem.
Yeah, we couldn't hear it earlier, but now I tried to turn it on again.
Then that is... I suspected that there is something different wrong, not just the circuit breaker. Okay. Yeah, it is... so you have to properly tape it or something like that.
It's taped, but we have to take a look at what happened there.
Maybe the heat,
it tore, or some water got in.
Yeah.
Take a look
and do it, yeah. What happened? No, see, personally I am fine. I do not need AC. I am fine. So therefore, it is more for everybody else or for to abide by the city or the state ordinance that we have to have it. But
that's what she's telling me. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to.
Yeah, by
this was, statute.
Yeah. Yeah. That is all right.
Yeah. That's why we lower a little bit the volume.
Yeah.
If everybody can hear you, we don't have any problems.
Yeah, don't have any problem. Yeah, exactly. So it is, don't worry. And then if there is somebody inspects, tell them that it was running, but something happened, stop now, we have to call somebody to repair it. So they understand that, you know, that is, yeah. So, therefore, what we were reading, that... the more you know, then more harshly you will get judged. Hence, do not affect wisdom, but admit your ignorance. Why prefer yourself to anyone else when many are more learned, more cultured than you are? Many people, they are learned in something else that we are not learned in. So one should be humble and respect their learning as well. We may be expert in something, one thing. The other person may be expert in something else. That there was a big scholar, a very nice story in the old folklore, that very scholarly person always used to feel that I am so highly learned. Then once he had to go cross the river in a boat. So he got into the boat And then asked that one who was an ignorant, illiterate person, he was rowing the boat. He started conversation. Have you studied Socrates? No, I have not. Oh, you haven't studied Socrates? Then your life, 1/4 of your life is gone, wasted. You have not studied Socrates or Plato? Forget it. Have you studied the Shakespeare? No, I have not studied Shakespeare. Oh, what a fellow you are. Your half life is gone. Then he asked something more. That have you studied Chaucer? Chaucer, never heard what it is. Oh, what you ignorant people, you don't know anything, what it is. So it is, then by that time somehow the storm was picking up. The boat was becoming topsy-turvy, and then it was, the water was getting in. So this boatman asked, have you learned swimming? No, then now your whole life is gone. So we don't know, you know, what we learn, what we don't. There is another story of a big professor, you know. He and another illiterate kind of peasant, a farmer, they were traveling together in a train, a long train journey. And then the only two were there in the compartment. So this professor was naturally was boring, you know, nobody what to talk. So he told the farmer, okay, let us play a game. You ask me a question, I will ask you a question. And then if I don't answer, then I will give you $20. If you don't answer, you give me $20. The farmer said, okay, but you know, see, you and I, how can we compare? You must give me some handicap. If I lose, I give $10. Because I have not learned like you, you know. And the professor said, okay, fine, you know, after all, what can you do? Agree that you pay $10 if you lose, I pay $20 if I lose. And he asked the farmer, you ask the question first. The farmer said, okay, tell me what is the name of that creature who has four heads, seven wings, and 11 legs. What is that creature's name? Tell me. The professor started thinking, oh, what it is. Ultimately, after 10 minutes, said that, oh, I don't know. Sorry, this is the $20. What is that creature? The farmer said, I also don't know. These are $10. So who was wise, you see? Do you get the point? Yeah, so it is like that. So let us be humble about our learning, you know. Let us not be boastful about it. So it is, if you wish to learn and appreciate something worthwhile, then love to be unknown and considered as nothing. Truly to know and despise oneself is the best and most perfect counsel. And do not feel proud about it. You know, it is, be in the shadow. Be not, don't try to portray yourself as the highest learning man, and I have got these awards and so forth. What have you done? You know, it is so. The profitable will be to then do not boast about it. Be humble about all the learning. To think of oneself as nothing and always to think well and highly of others is the best and most perfect wisdom. That is a very good statement. It is given by Chaitanya Deva also, and many other Hindu scriptures. Also, the Buddhist text Bodhicharyavatara of Shanti Deva, that also mentions this advice. It is to think of oneself as nothing and always to think well and highly of others is the best and most perfect wisdom. Wherefore, if you see another sin openly or commit a serious crime, do not consider yourself better. It is, for you do not know how long you can remain in good state. All people, here it doesn't say all people, say all men are frail. So women are off the hook, you know. It is only men are frail, it says, you know. So it is.
All men are what?
All men are frail. So anybody can sin at any time, you know.
Swami, we have doubts with the last word.
Frail.
Frail.
Frail means fickle. You agree with that, yes. All, they are fickle. They do not have the proper resolve. So it is. Yeah, so.
Frail is not strong.
Frail is not strong. It is. Yes. It is. Yes, frail is weak.
Weak.
Like fragile.
Yeah, fragile. Yeah.
But do you think that many teachers are speaking of men and women?
Well, it is. That is true. It is actually both are frail. It is. Yeah. That is actually in some books, you know, women are considered far more frail than men. The word used by them is not frail. For women, the word used is fickle. Fickle. Fickle means very shaky. Cannot decide things, you know. Yes, therefore it is said that they actually, the women are very good with proper methods, how to work out those things. They can manage things very well. Only like the story goes that a man, if the man wants something, if that thing costs $5, he may spend $10 and get it. Won't bargain. A woman, instead of $5, she will bargain and get it for $2. But she doesn't want it. Just to make a show. See, a point that I could bargain. One lady, we were guests at home, and she was showing all these nice spoons, you know, ordinary spoons used for eating. They were all nicely gold plated, and she was asking, you know how much I paid for them? Well, how do I know? She said that only $1 a piece, I got a nice bargain on that. How much do you use it? Nothing, you know. It is 100 spoons. Who is going to use that at home? So just occupying space, you see. So anyway, that is, if you see another sin openly to commit a serious crime, do not consider yourself better, for you do not know how long you can remain in good state. You may commit that same crime, because when you are criticizing somebody else for committing the crime, unknowingly you are meditating on that sin. Do you see that? This fellow did such a bad thing, such a bad thing. This is such a sin, this terrible, bad. And you are meditating in your, and whatever you meditate on, that becomes strong in your heart. And so, you will go and commit the same sin. So therefore, do not bless people. Pray for them. That is what Jesus did, isn't it? Imitation of Christ. That is the book that we are reading. Those who were crucifying, what Jesus did, he did not condemn them. He did not say how sinful those people are. He prayed for them. Probably the only tangible example in the human history, when he was being crucified like that, he prayed for them. Oh God, they don't know what they are doing. They don't know what they are doing. Forgive them. So this is, otherwise you criticize them, you follow the same thing. So do not go for that. The doctrine of the second chapter, third chapter now. Happy is the one, now it is said he, anyway. Happy is he whom truth manifests itself, not in signs and words that fail, but it as it actually is. Our opinions, our senses often deceive us, and we discern very little. This is what happens.
What was the end?
Discern very little. We means we do not actually see the pros and cons, rights and wrongs. We do not discern. Means we do not properly discriminate between the right and the wrong there. So it is, we do not do that, and therefore it is, we do not see the truth. It is, we get cheated. Like we see this, that we see a very nice form, it is, and then we fall for it, and then we caught in it, we get caught in it, and then there is no way to return without, you know, suffering lot of consequences. So it is because we did not see in depth what we are getting into. So our sense enjoyment, attraction to sense enjoyment, we just do not discern. We do not look deep that what is it going to entail us? What is the ultimate result? If we see the ultimate result, we won't fall prey to it. But we don't. Like we had, you know, some years ago, this incident happened. We had mice in our Vedanta society. Mice, you know. All over the world, everywhere. They try to control the mice. Remove them, but they are very hardy. They were millions of years before human beings and are likely to survive a million years after human beings. So these mice came there, then it is a trap was put for them to catch the mouse with some butter and all in that as bait, thinking that yes, the mouse will come and then we will kill it. So the mouse came, and then we thought that it is trapped now, so we will hit and kill it. But as we opened the trap, the mouse again ran. Gone. So we thought that we'll put it again and we'll get caught. But now the mouse had become wise. It didn't get trapped. Because earlier it was seeing only butter. Now it is seeing butter plus the trap. We see only the attraction, enjoyment, and do not see the trap around. So we get caught. We are more stupid than the mice. We get trapped again and again. It is, yeah. So that is how this happens, you know. We have to be, therefore, very, very careful that discern. If we see that there is something attractive, we should stop and wait. Is it real? Is it possible? That is how people get trapped when there are so many, you know, promises. The credit card. Oh, we will take care of all your debt. Do not worry. Live a free life, free of debt. Just get our credit card and that will be all fine for you. Now if we think how what this person is, are these people really very philanthropic and altruistic? They are working for profit. So they are sure to show you dangle carrots and put that butter to trap you. That is why from one debt trap, people get into another debt trap. In the, yeah, it is so many in United States that has become a big, big problem of the expanding debt trap. Because you get into the debt, and that debt you could pay maybe. Gradually you would be able to pay that debt. But some credit card advertisements, and our Jaime, he is economics professor, so he may not get cheated.
Ambassador,
yeah. So she will tell you, hey Jaime, come on, let us get this credit card. They are giving 25,000 credit limit.
No, she's my financial advisor.
Okay. So she gets that card for you, 25,000. She won't do that. Good. Yeah. And then people get cheated like 25,000. Wow. And 1 year, no interest for 1 year.
Excellent.
Hey. And you go for it and got your neck into the nose.
I'm completely trapped.
So, why? Because we do not discern. We get cheated by the appearances. Appearances, they deceive us. If we look a little deep, we won't get cheated.
Small letters.
Small lessons. Yeah.
Small letters in the contracts.
Small letters. Yeah. Yeah, they are written deliberately very small. Yeah. In fact, white on white. They print white on the white paper, so nobody can read it. It is, yeah, but you fall prey to that trap like the TV ads of many medicines that they tell the good thing. And show a nice picture, you know, a very nice looking that woman comes up and says, see, because of this, my health has improved so much. I feel so energetic, so good. I strongly recommend everybody to take at least 2 pills every day. And then after that is done, then very fast. If you have immunity, don't reserve it. I don't. This may cause cancer. This may cause this. This may. So, it is.
On TV, they even say one of these effects, second effects, they say secondary effects. Even death.
Even death, yeah.
Just like that. Yeah, even death.
Yeah, yeah. But people don't see that part. They don't discern. If we discern, you know, then almost all the miseries of life we can escape. If we discern, then we can see that there is God filled in everything. Like the animal crackers that I was talking about yesterday, if we see clearly, then what is a giraffe and what is a tiger or what is an elephant? Actually, it is same thing, different shapes. So we have to go beyond shape. We have to go beyond the shapes. And thus, that is the discerning, that the shapes are not important. What is the substance that is important? And then you see it is the same substance, same God in everything. That is the truth. And then that truth liberates us. That is one of the great teachings of Jesus. You shall know the truth and the truth shall liberate you. Know the truth and the truth will liberate us. The truth is God. Many would say that we don't believe in God. But everybody believes in truth. They may say we don't know God. We don't believe there is something like God. But truth, yes, everybody has respect for truth. So, truth is actually, therefore, other name of God. Truth. God is truth. That always remains. So, think instead of calling God, call truth. So, it is, and this truth liberates us. Our what good is much discussion of involved and obscure matters when our ignorance of them will not be held against us on judgment day. Same thing, you know, whether you have read Socrates or not, will not be held against us in the day of judgment. What will be held against us? Neglect of things which are profitable and necessary, and undue concern with those which are irrelevant and harmful. That is what we have to do. That is what we should respect in life. That who cares, you know, if you have and so many topics to learn, you know. It is, you may study, say, like he says, studied economics. How much, even in the economics, there are so many different branches, so many theories, so many models, it is, yeah. Somebody was, some economist was asked, it happened right in front of me, that, oh, have you studied and worked with John Nash game theory? The other said, no, no, I don't follow that economics. My field of economics is different. John D. Nash, that famous game theory, I only have heard the name. I don't understand much of it. But it is, in economics also there are so many things that you know and you don't know. It is like that. So why worry about it, you know? It is what is more profitable that we should do. What is more profitable is to lead a sinless life, a life that holds on to conscience. Not likes and dislikes, but conscience tells you what is right and what is not right. Likes and dislikes are like the animal thing, you know. They do not have that much thinking to discern, to separate from what is right and what is wrong. But human beings, they have that skill, what is right and what is not right. And they should therefore change their attitude, not to fall for what I like and kick away what I dislike. No, don't go by like and dislike, but go by what is right and what is not right. And thus you will be doing what is right. Your life will be full of virtue. So this is a discipline. If you learn this, that is the great learning. Otherwise, we saw that story, that story means just a recent fact, not more than a week ago, that lady killed her son, you see. And such a highly educated lady, one of the most efficient persons in the industry of software. She was specialized more in, you want to come in Shraddha, then why you are just looking like that? Get in. Yeah. No, she is not your enemy, don't worry.
She cannot be.
Cannot be, okay, good.
Cannot be.
I
don't have any.
So she was expert in artificial intelligence, AI specialist, but still could not control those instincts, those emotions. So that is how one must learn to control. Whenever a vibration comes, let me do this. Because I like it, because I love it, let it run over through the discernment. Is it right? Then if your discernment approves it, like when in all the government offices and all, they have lot of work to be done. They make somebody has a job to make a plan, but it won't get executed till it passes through various scrutinies. That let it first go to finance department, after that let it go through to the environment department, let it pass through all these screenings. Then it will get permitted. So it is, but it is very important that whatever I think, I must do it. Well, let your intelligence, your spirit of discernment, what in Sanskrit is called Viveka, in Vedanta it is called Viveka, means selecting the right thing from many, many different things, you know. Select the right thing. Just don't go by appearances. That is the most important thing. Don't go by appearance. Appearances are very deceptive. And therefore we get cheated in life. Because we run with the appearance. It is so, you know, I have been cheated many times due to appearances. I am not very easy just to go with appearances. But still, whenever I went by that, I got cheated. And then sometimes because I did not believe the appearances, I got the great benefit of it. I was waiting at the train station in Paris, and I had to catch a flight, and the Swami who was going to come and pick me up to take to airport, he got stuck in traffic, so was not able to come. So now I don't know French, and those I started to looking at the map. One gentleman came. He was very shabbily attired and was looking somewhat, you know, not very trustworthy. But he started telling me that, see, this is not the way you can reach airport. He was talking broken English, but that was enough, you know. And then other person who was talking good English, he just told me that that fellow could be a cheat, beware. But that fellow just told that and went his way. He had no time for me. So now I found this man, although he had such appearance, he helped me to get to the right train. He told me how to buy the ticket. He guided me. Very little. Yeah, but so had I trusted the appearance, I wouldn't have got that help.
You didn't judge a book by its cover.
Huh?
You didn't judge the book by its cover.
Yeah, by its cover, exactly. Yeah.
He helped out.
Yeah, you are very correct there. Thank you. You know, it is. So don't get fooled by the appearances. It is. This is the teaching here. That is what he says. We have eyes and do not see. It is Jesus. This is just a statement that is, you know, related to Jesus' statement in Gospel. Those who have eyes, let them see. Why he should say that? Because although we have eyes, we don't see. Therefore it is we, let us see, use the eyes and discern. What therefore have we to do with questions of philosophy? Means just the logic and deep, that boring, meaningless, long drawn discussions. We don't need that. Look at, you know, how Jesus taught in short, simple parables. He didn't get into a lot of philosophy. Look at how Sri Ramakrishna taught simple and short parables, stories. Through stories he taught, through his own life he taught. So this is the way to teach, this is the way to learn. So what therefore have we to do with questions of philosophy? He to whom the eternal word, that is the word, like we say, you know, Om, the eternal word, Om. It is eternal word, that is what the word here is, what from the Book of John in Bible. In the beginning was the Word. The word was with God. The word was God. What beautiful statement. Yeah. And everything that was made came off from that word. From that word, everything has taken this form. So, that is, eternal word speaks is free from theorizing. Therefore, Sri Ramakrishna did not want to go into all those deep questions and debates and all that. Somebody wanted to entangle him into all these hair-splitting logic. You know hair-splitting? Hair, and then tiny, and then split them, keep on splitting it. That is the hair-splitting arguments. That it is, what? That Abraham Lincoln was born at 1203 or 1204. Keep on debating for 1 year on this, you know. What does it matter whether he was born 3 minutes after midnight or 4 minutes after midnight? It doesn't make any difference. Shankaracharya says that our most energy goes in vain. These statements are like there are 7 islands on earth, 7 continents. 7 continents are on there on earth. At that time and even now, we know that to be the truth. That there are 7 continents. As if had there been 6 or 8, had our life been any different? It doesn't make any sense. Why keep on arguing about it? It is just this information that doesn't change anything for us. We would be eating the same soup, whether there are 8 islands, 8 continents or 10 continents. What does it matter? So these questions do not really make any sense. It is... For from this word are all things, and of him all things speak. The beginning who also speaks to us, that the word is the beginning. It speaks to us. We are all that word. That from that word appeared as all the names. I like that whole idea that it is, there is this primordial sound, the word, or as we call Om. That while remaining one, got variegated into infinitely many sounds. Through that infinitely many words, names, and through that infinitely many things also. And while this was happening, it still remained the same, unchanging. Like all these infinitely many waves rise and fall from the ocean. The ocean remains the same. The waves come and go. So, all things are rising from that one without second word. That word. Meister Eckhart's idea of the one is very, you know, exactly same as the non-dual Vedanta, that it is one without second. And that one is not a number, but that which transcends all enumeration. The very idea of numbering is transcended in that supreme oneness. So this is what is hinted here. It is to him all things speak, the beginning who also speaks to us. The beginning, without this word, no man understands or judges aright. He to whom it becomes everything, who traces all things to it, and who sees all things in it, may ease his heart and remain at peace with God. Look at that, what a beautiful idea. The more, O God, you who are the truth, make me one with you. This is a prayer. You are the truth. What we were discussing earlier, God is truth. O God, who are the truth, make me one with you in love everlasting. I am often wearied by the many things. We become burdened, worried, bound by many things. But we want them and we like them and fall prey to them. Many. I have one house, then you say, why one? What will happen if it breaks or something happens to it? Let me have another one, then another one, and then see how much worries. It is, but that is how we don't think about it. We keep on expanding and expanding. Keep on thinking about economics, you know. That, more, I will collect more money, more money. You know that nice story that one man, in New York, came home from work and boasted to his wife, "Today, darling, today I saved $2. Instead of getting into the bus, I ran behind the bus." And the wife scolded him, "Why did you not run behind a taxi? You would have saved $25. What does it mean? Nothing. So it is like that. We will save a lot of money. We will save this. What are you going to do with all that? Nothing. You know, it is all... we began with vanity. Vanity. It's all vanity. And there was the story of, you know, miserly people. One miserly person came to the neighbor. He sent his son, actually, that, "Oh, you know, we have a nice mango tree in our yard, and we have lot of mangoes by the grace of God. So my father has sent you this basket full of mangoes." So he was carrying the basket on his head. Actually, there were no mangoes, just empty basket. But he was showing, very heavy as it were. "Where shall I put these mangoes?" Now this neighbor was not there, his son was there. He said, now he understood what's there. And he said, "Okay, put it there." And this man, as it were, pouring mangoes, nothing. And then this neighbor's son said, "Now we have to give a return gift, isn't it? If there is a gift, I have to give a return gift also." So he said, "We don't have mangoes, but we have a nice pumpkin. So let me give you this pumpkin." So he went and then, no pumpkin, you know, just held his hands like that. as if it is very heavy. Just showing like there were no mangoes, you know. So no pumpkin, and like that showing this and gave, hey, take this. Now that neighbor's son also knew that he paid us back in the same coin. So he went back carrying it. Okay, thank you. We should have such neighborly relations, and saying that he went away. Then this boy's father came home, and the boy told, you know, these neighbors, these miserly neighbors, and they treated us like that, hey, no mangoes. But I gave them in the same way, that I said, okay, take this mango. And the dad gave him a slap. Why did you give the whole pumpkin? You should have given only half pumpkin.
The mangoes and the pumpkin came from the same orchard.
Same orchard, yeah. So it is like that. What is there? What are we taking with us? Nothing. So therefore, do not feel about these things. The more recollected a man is, and the more simple of heart that he becomes, the easier he understands sublime things, for he receives the light of knowledge from above. The pure, simple, and steadfast spirit is not distracted by many labors, for he does them all for the honor of God. And since he enjoys interior peace, he seeks no selfish end in anything. What indeed gives more trouble and affliction than uncontrolled desires of the heart? We know that a desire makes us, you know, lose the peace. Simple desire also makes us lose the peace. Like Marta sitting nice, peaceful, oh, very good. And if she gets the desire, let me go and eat a mango, then she will feel perturbed. Where can I find a mango?
Happy now.
Not enough till you give her the pumpkin, you know. So that is how the desires enslave us, you see. That is how we get perturbed by desires. And the desires do not die.
Do not die?
No. You go to fulfill them.
Well, what can we do with them?
Therefore, renounce them. Give them up.
That is not so easy.
Not easy, but what is easy? So you have to do that which is easiest, isn't it?
So, do you have, I don't want to say shortcuts, but tricks? Or ideas, how can you do that easier?
You are, you know, asking a question. Yes, there are the easy ways that are given by Jesus or Sri Ramakrishna.
It's like a blessing?
It is the blessings and also encouragement and instructions. All are provided by Sri Ramakrishna. We have to hold on to them and practice them in life, you know. It is not difficult. It is much easier than what other things we do in life. To give up desires is difficult. Then to live with those desires, is it easy? It is more difficult. The driving in the right direction is only as difficult as driving in the wrong direction. actually easier than driving in the wrong direction. Because if you drive in the right direction, you will reach the destination. And then the driving, you can get out of the car. If you are going in the wrong direction, go round and round, round here, there, the road that leads nowhere. No? In this world, going by the likes and dislikes is not a road. It doesn't take us anywhere. It is only a circular passage, goes round and round and round. We experience it, but don't learn from it, dear. And we know that how many times we did that, and again and again, we foolishly tell ourselves that this time I will get happiness out of it. Last time I might have done something not correct, but this time I will get all the happiness from it. No, it is one sign of a fool is that the fool does the same thing again and again, expecting a different result. How could the result won't be different? It is same. We make the same mistake. I told you the story of the same mistake thing, you know, that a man came, his friend had come to him. It was just about mid-morning or late morning, and then he saw the friends that right ear had become black. Those days were not the days of cell phone, you know. So right ear has become black here? Oh, you know, in the early morning I was not still fully awake. I was kind of dozing, and this fellow called.
This what?
Called. You know, this fellow, this man called.
Okay.
And in my sleep, instead of picking up and putting the receiver to the ear, there was the hot iron that I picked and put it there. Oh my goodness, this must have been such a bad thing. But why your the left ear also is black? Oh, that fool called again.
That
fool called again. Now who is fool, you can see. That is the story of our life, you know. We do not learn from the mistake, you know. And we make the mistake and keep on making the mistake. Let us learn, you know. Let us learn that much. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Yeah. Learn, you know. It is. So, a good and devout man arranges his mind, arranges in his mind things he has to do, not according to the whims of evil inclination, but according to the dictates of the right reason. Yeah, think what is right and do accordingly. Is it right? Is it going to be beneficial to all? And if that is the case, then do it. That it is like somebody is responsible to run the Vedanta Society, like our Leela is now responsible to run the Vedanta Society. So it devolves upon her, and she does it. That, and I should not do according to my whims, but I should see what is going to be the right thing, how it will benefit everybody, how it will, you know, make me feel good that I have taken right decision. So this is how a right decision makes things happy for us. We become internally peaceful and happy. I made the right decision, ethical decision, moral decision. So that is, otherwise we get some whim, I'm going to do it. Have you thought over what are you going to be doing in your life with that kind of decision? How many people you will be unnecessarily hurting? And what are you going to gain by that? We don't make such discernment. One should do that. That what is the right thing to do? And our life will change, you know. We will be actually becoming more and more spiritual. Because that is the, when we discern, we find that. So it is in that way, he says, that yes, please.
Swamiji, but in order to make the right discernment, there has to be a learning process.
Yes. It has to be...
She's going to be very good because she's going to be getting information on how to run.
Yeah, yeah, it is, yes.
And I'll say, because I have been in the presence of people with very good intentions.
Yeah.
But they did not know enough from the original people in order to do good by them.
That is true, that is, but...
I understand the sermon, yeah. And I understand that we have to be intellectually inclined towards those and that type of
discernment. Yes, we have to see from all angles.
So why I'm sitting here,
yeah, it is
in order to do just that.
Just that.
But we, I have seen people with very good intentions.
Very good intentions.
Make wrong decisions.
Because they get controlled not by their intellect, but by their whims. Their whims.
And not only by their
whims,
I'll give you an example.
Fancies. Yeah.
I'll give you an example. I'll be very, very brief. I was with people that went to help people in Guatemala and Mexico. We helped them after they experienced one of the worst hurricanes that came their way. But these are the original people. And people from Europe came in and said, oh my God, they lost everything. First thing we must do is make bathrooms for them.
Make?
Bathrooms for them. Mm-hmm. And banners.
Oh, banners.
Bathrooms.
Yes, yes, okay.
Bathrooms and where they can also shower. And since there was so much water still in the ground, they decided it was good for them to make them on stilts. And these places for bathing and for going to the bathroom were made of stilts. The originals looked at me and said, we're not going up there. Because going to the bathroom and bathing
is,
especially in the mommy, is a sacred thing. You're so connected to the earth that they only do those things in chaskas, what we call them. The intention was great.
But then they didn't know the culture of those people.
You have intellect and you have to really get to know mercy. What do you need?
To feel that.
What do you need? What are your needs and what is your culture?
Exactly.
They came to me and said, what are they doing? Because it's impossible for a mammon to make his needs, his very primordial needs, everybody can see them. So
you are right. Yeah.
Raja and Vaisha is something that we really have to take into consideration.
Consideration.
But
yeah.
Must always think. I can go to Marta and says, I think you need a car, and I'll bring her through. Golf cart. She doesn't need a golf cart.
He doesn't need a golf cart.
Yeah. I'm right, anyone.
Yeah.
Don't take it away from me, Jackson.
Yeah. So this is, I get your point, you know, very important.
I do.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why I as far as I'm concerned, Patanjali is yamas and niyamas.
Yeah.
Such an important part of
correct,
our
correct.
Learning process.
Yeah, yeah. Learning, this is...
When I say I have there are, everything.
There are these two words, you know. And learning and training.
Learning and?
Training. Training is very important. That we should train our body and mind to go in that direction. Otherwise, even if we understand it here, it doesn't work. One lady I still remember, these days she doesn't come much, but she used to come to the classes and would say, Swami, what you say makes perfect sense here, but doesn't make sense here.
Wow. Yeah,
so,
standard.
Yeah, standard. But she put it in such nice words, you know. So we have to bring training to it. That is the training part. It is like suppose our Shraddha is wants to go somewhere and she is sitting on the elephant. Have you ever sat on the elephant, Shraddha?
No, sir.
Never? Okay, okay.
It's okay,
yeah.
I can imagine.
Because in India we get such rides, you know. In America also some zoos you may get the ride on elephant. So it is...
nice.
Anyway, ride. So if you are, say, sitting on the elephant, and you want to go somewhere, now your wanting to go will not have any bearing unless the elephant goes. And then elephant, you cannot just say, oh dear elephant, go there. You have to goad it. You have to train that elephant. So our body and mind is like that elephant. We are riding this elephant called body-mind. And that needs to be given a training. That is what Patanjali said, Yama and Niyama. It is a training that it involves. That is so important. So with this training, then we will be able to take that... discern properly and hold on to our discernment.
Yes.
Yeah,
that
very correct. Yeah. If men used as much care in uprooting vices and implanting virtues as they do in discussing problems, there would not be so much evil and scandal in the world or such laxity in religious organizations. So even at the time of this Thomas, the religious organizations, they had lot of corruption and such things because of this, that we understand but we don't have the strength to implement. And this body and mind is not getting trained to implement what we understand. And so what then happens is the life of hypocrisy. In religious organizations, therefore, as they say, that the church becomes more important than God. Yeah, that is because money, you know, if you, all these, the churches, especially the evangelical churches, they try to get more and more and more of money, more and more of political power. And one minister was telling me how they have got so much of funding, they are trying for more and they are, yes, and I said, have you not read what Jesus, you are a student of Bible, that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle than a rich man to get to the through the gates of heaven. It is why you are doing all these things. Isn't it enough that you get to eat, you get to sleep? It is enough. Why you want all those things? Don't worry about it. It is not, have you not read there that our God, our Lord said that you cannot worship God and mammon together? He tried to philosophize. No, that is not, it is. Actually, he was feeling crestfallen.
That's a big temptation nowadays.
Yeah, to.
There's so much fun to everyone just to chop them up.
Yeah, but they.
To shut them down.
Shut them out. Give them money and they will keep quiet like that. How many there are who perish because of vain worldly knowledge and too little care for serving God? They become vain in their own conceits. And because they chose to be great rather than humble. So let us choose to be humble. It is rather than egotistic about our learning. Don't make a show of how much I know. As soon as we study something, we get the temptation to tell others, you know how much I know. And that what it does is it increases our ego. And yes, please.
No, sorry.
Oh, I thought that you wanted to.
I have a little doubt.
Okay. So it is, he who truly is great, who has great charity. He is truly great, who is little in his own eyes and makes nothing of the highest honor. Yeah, very important, you know. There is that one Russian mathematician. He got the highest award in the mathematics, equivalent to the Nobel Prize in mathematics, called Field Medal. He didn't come to receive it. He didn't take it. No. He was given another award. He again did not come to take it. I don't want anything. He was offered a professorship at the prime American universities like Harvard, and he refused. He is living like a recluse, you know, doing his mathematics without people. The recognition of people is not important for him. He is humbly doing his work, that's all. Because if you, the problem is when you go for public recognition, your values get altered. That what is,
Ego gets,
that becomes the prime thing to be looked for. That, what it means is I should get this, I should talk to this fellow, I should present my case to that person. It is, one gentleman was telling me that, Swami, in this present world, we have to make our case. We have to show how we are worthy to our bosses. How more work I do, I have to tell people. Otherwise, they won't know how much work I am doing. I said to him, "Well, you whatever you think you can do, of course, it is up to you." But in my opinion, that is not what will benefit anybody. If somebody has the capability of you being your boss, he already gets the information of what you are doing. And when you come to go to boast to that person, it will go against you. It will not go for you. Oh, this fellow made this special case to convince me of how big, how important worker he is. So it will go against you. But anyway, this is my humble opinion. I am no expert in these things. Do whatever you like. And then after pondering, next day he told me, I will go by your advice. I will not do anything to portray myself. I said, okay, that is good. I would have done that. But I cannot tell you anything about it. So this is the case, you know, that we want to show that how important I am. Now, what is the use of it? One lady had come, you know, she was looking for a job. She had lost the job. A devotee, very nice person. And she was looking for another job. And she had a little problem with law. That she was arrested and like that. So, but that was all over. That was finished. So, she came to talk to me and said that I am not going to tell it in my resume. I said, better tell it. Otherwise, if they find out, they will see that you are a liar. You are hiding things. And then your chances of getting employment will still recede further. So be frank, tell, no, no, Swami, you don't understand. As soon as they will see this in the list, they will just discard it. No, she followed my advice.
Oh, well,
yeah.
She was smart.
And she got the job.
Good.
Yeah. She got the job. She was happy. Swami, thank you. I said, even a common sense would tell you, nowadays everywhere there is the background check. It is even if you don't write, doesn't mean they are not going to find out. Only you will look so bad that you told a lie. Yeah, so they are going to find out.
Anyway,
so it is. And she got the job. She said, I did what you told me to do.
She was honest.
She was, at least, you know, that is, she is honest. So it is being simple, straightforward, keeps us free from the pricks of conscience. At least you were straightforward. You were not trying to cheat. So it is very important to do that. Thinking that if I cheat, I will get more profit. You may get some few dollars somewhere more by cheating. The thieves and all, they also make lot of money, you know, but what in the end will you get? At the end of the day, you will collect a lot of pain to your conscience, and how will you feel happy about it? You won't. So therefore, be free, you know. It is, tell the truth, whatever happens, take it. Yeah, take it. It is, maybe you won't get the job. Maybe you will find it difficult. But not that by telling lies you will find it easier. It is, going after money is the worst thing that a person can do, you know. It is, what? Going after money means See, you are running after the money. Who is boss now? Money is the boss. So who uses whom? Money uses you. You don't get the, you don't have now the freedom to use money. You only accumulate money. You cannot use it. You only keep on counting. You become slave to that. So let us not fall into that trap. It is be honest, and whatever comes, you get it. If it goes,
but
it goes.
Yeah.
In Spanish, you used to say that la mentira tiene las patas cortas. That means the lies, they have short legs.
Short legs.
Mm-hmm. Short legs. They cannot go very far. Yes.
Correct. Yeah, they cannot go up to heaven.
That was the point I was considering, but you just brought it now. Apart from humility, when you're going your right way, humility is a very important point, but also honesty. I think humility is a very important point, but also very important is honesty.
Honesty, yeah.
Very important to be honest.
Yes, if you are honest, then you are happy. You don't carry the burden of, a hurt conscience. Because, see, the God sees everything. We saw that, the God watches everything. Cookies as well as apples. the God sees everything. So, whom are you going to cheat? We had one, yourself. One gentleman, he used to come more often. Now he is not well. That he, I saw him in the kitchen. He was working, cutting, and then while cutting something, he will put a piece in his mouth. So I told him, okay, now from tomorrow, will you help us by cutting the fruits for offering in the shrine? He said, yes, sure, Swami. He was a good devotee. Sure, Swami. But remember, it is to be offered to Lord. Before that, we should not take it. You should not, while cutting, you should not put anything in the mouth. He said, that will be difficult, but I will try, Swami. It is.
So he was honest?
He was honest. So, but he used to make fun of himself. I am cutting these bananas, and then the temptation to put it. Sometimes I would tell myself, there is nobody else in the room. Even if I put it in the mouth, who is going to know? But then I would say, but I am watching. So I am there, so my conscience is going to catch me, and so I won't do that. So no, he was very honest man. Yeah. So it is like that, that if we are honest, we become free in our conscience. And only such people can be happy. It is... He is truly wise who looks upon all earthly things as folly, that he may gain Christ. Who is more valuable, getting a few dollars? Are few dollars more valuable than Christ? All earthly things, whether you get or you don't get, what does it matter? You can survive. You can still continue to live. But getting that Christ, that is the purpose, ultimate purpose of life, that is most important. It is so many very poor in the earthly terms have taught me such great lessons in life. It is no greed, and so they were very happy. If you are greedy, you are never happy. But without greed, you become very happy. There was back in Shillong a very difficult area, especially at night, and we were going in our truck or van, and then the tire became flat right in the middle of the night. And it was all, you know, the area full of that terrorists and such activities. We now, what to do at that hour? And nothing was seemed to be available. We saw at a distance one tea shop was open. So we went there, and then we got some tea, but more importantly we asked that this has happened. He said, don't worry, you know, there is the man across the road, he will do the work for you, I will wake him up. He will open and he will wake, he will do your work. So, and yes, he did the work, you know. He changed this thing, fixed everything, spent about 40-45 minutes doing all this work at the dead of the night, you know, when everything was closed. And then I was ready to pay him whatever he asked, you know. At this odd hour he has worked. But then he took only the normal charges. Just that whatever was most reasonable charges. I said, you should charge more, it is night. I gave him, I offered him. He refused to take. And this, why he was not taking, the reason he gave, it has stayed with me. He said, the money not properly earned, that does not get digested.
This was in India?
Yeah. If the money that has not been earned with proper labor, that won't get digested. It will create indigestion in you. It will increase your greed.
That happened to Martha house. I mean, that.
To Martha?
No, to us.
To us, oh.
We gave a tip to a taxi driver. And then he came back. He said, look, you gave me
30 minutes ago, he came back.
And he told us,
No, this is not.
This is not.
Give me more. I have never seen that before.
See,
it was too much.
See, that is how you learn from such people, that they are not deluded by money. It is, money doesn't give you anything, you know, you cannot eat money. It is, so this is very important, that it is, he who does God's will and renounces his own is truly learned. I like this definition of learning. The one who learns what? To do the God's will and renounces his own. That person is truly learned. Hold on to the will of God.
How do you know God's will?
Whatever is, she is telling you that Martha's will is God's will, do whatever. What is this? You don't understand, eh?
I heard that.
Yeah, exactly. You have learned that.
I haven't heard it.
So this is, what is the, that we say that prayer, you know, that is one of the greatest prayers, that, and especially it is told to all Christians by Jesus, that pray like that, let thy will be done, not my will. it on the earth as well as in the heaven. Means in the regular matters as well as in the heavenly matters. Let thy will be done. Let thy kingdom come. What beautiful prayers, you know. It is, so it is, and to say that whatever we get today is enough for the, let it be enough today, and don't lead me into the temptation,
It is easy to say, Swami.
I fully agree with you. It is easy to say. It is difficult to practice. But what is the alternative? Other things are also difficult and they lead us nowhere. Even if you are driving on the wrong way, still you spend gas, isn't it? It doesn't run on water. And even if you are going in the right direction, it is you run it on water to gas. Only thing is that you will reach the destination by going in the right direction. Otherwise, you will just keep on rotating, and will not come to any destination. That is what we call in the Hindu philosophy the transmigratory existence, coming and going, samsara, that is the word, samsara. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam. That again getting born, again growing and dying, again getting born, again and again on this circular path. So pray to Lord that it is, the life is like that. It is. There is the sunrise, there is the sunset, there is the years, months go, seasons go, years go, and we keep on moving round and round and round. Let us be making use of these moments in holding the teachings of the Lord and imitate them in our life. I think we should stop here. It is. Yeah. Thank you very much, friends. Gracias. I love this book so much, you know. It is, we read only 4 chapters. Actually, I think 3 chapters.
How many are?
There are many. There are about 100 chapters now.
100 chapters?
Only 100 chapters.
Ella me dio un like y con el like fui a
la tarde
y ya no tengo venido a para eso yo uso
lo conseguiste en español o inglés
en inglés, pero estoy segura que si lo busco en español tiene que aparecer en
español. Se parece más al español que el inglés.
¿Cómo se llama?
Yeah, it must be there in Spanish. Yeah, it is, because must be, because more than English speaking people, Spanish speaking people are more followers of Catholicism. And this is a prime Catholic book, you know. Although it is respected by all Christians, especially by Catholics. Yes. So there must be the Spanish translation of this.
Swami, there is something else, because Latin and Spanish comes from Latin, so the translation is more easier for somebody who speaks Spanish.
You are correct, yeah. Since it is from
Latin. She knew Latin and Spanish.
Yeah, therefore Spanish people are called Latinos, you know. Latinos. Yeah.
Swami, what is the, how can we balance between reading a lot and really practice it? Because I tend to read and then I don't do it and I get frustrated.
No, learn to practice, you know, learn to pay more attention. Whatever you read, let it be, is still going on. This is, we are stopping now.
Oh, we're stopping. Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It
okay,
is.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can talk about it.
Should I stop the recording?
Yeah, you can stop it now. Yeah. Huh?